Hello and welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. Bankers of really any sized financial institution will find today's discussion surrounding the nuances of an omni-channel approach to real-time payments very interesting. We're joined by Mark Majeski, the SVP of Faster Payments at Alacrity, along with Mercator Advisor Group's own Director of Debit and Alternative Products, Sarah Grotta. We cover the importance of using multiple payment rails, the often undiscussed business opportunity in offering expanded faster payments options to clients, as well as three roadblocks to faster payments, which I'll roughly categorize as fraud, overlay, and liquidity. Without further ado, let's take it to the show. Sarah, if you want to kick off our conversation today with an overview of the space.
Yeah, sure. Happy to. Anytime I can talk about faster and real-time payments, it's a good day. But I think that the U.S. market for faster and real-time payments is really interesting and quite unlike any other market anywhere in the world. You know, we have real-time payments through the clearinghouse, which is now processing over $16 billion in dollar value each quarter. And we have our market-driven environment that has also, you know, created the likes of Zelle that's now processing over $120 billion a quarter. And then we also have debit push payments like MasterCard Send and Visa Direct, which settle in 30 minutes or less and usually within a few seconds. And then let's not forget same-day ACH, which can settle, you know, within hours. So it's a very rich environment. And all of these payments have strong growth rates and are really being used by more and more use cases I'm seeing. So having all of these payment options available means that the users really get the benefit of choice, right? They get to define the payment type that will meet the needs based on the speed of the transaction, the importance of funding certainty, the price, you know, the availability, you know, do they need to send that transaction at midnight on a Saturday, and data requirements. So choice opens up all kinds of potential, but I will say that it also creates confusion. And I think for a lot of financial institutions, you know, they're looking at this market and trying to discern really where they place their bets and what payment types or types are going to be most important for their customers and the use cases that are and will be in the future important. So, you know, there's a lot of things still yet to be settled out when it comes to faster and real-time payments. So, Mark, love to ask you from your vantage point, you know, how do you see this market for faster and real-time payments evolving?
Sure. Thanks, Sarah. And thanks for your input. I certainly agree with your viewpoint. I think that when you look at payments in general, in the past 5 years, we've had more change than we have in the previous 40 years. And I think that when I look at the future, the next 5 years, I think we're going to see even more. I think that what financial institutions are looking at today is a myriad of choice, right, or selections that they can use for moving funds. And one of the things I always talk to them about is that it's important to go back to your roots. It's important to look at your customer and your customer's needs and the segments in which you are servicing, because that's really where we have to start. I look at rails as tools, right? They're something that I can use. They have different attributes. But at the end of the day, I'm really trying to fill a gap or solve an issue or create a UI UX that is amazing for customers to use and get them excited. So I think it's really a balancing act. We in the United States have the opportunity. We have quite a few rails, right? I think in other countries, maybe it's a little bit less. And so it's maybe a little easier. But from our perspective, we have a really rich market, and I think there are a lot of people who are interested in sending money faster. So I think what financial institutions have to be cognizant of is the fact that there are so many different types of options, but always keep your eye on your customer, because at the end of the day, that's who you're servicing, and that's who are going to find new and innovative ways that you're sending funds to be attractive.
Awesome. So Mark, it's got me curious, and you'll forgive me if I ask a question that's a little bit like, as a novice or a layman, like, why wouldn't a bank focus on like one pay rail and like get really good at it, or have all uniform payments, or why use many options when one might have advantages?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of differences between them. The first thing I look at is ubiquity. So not all rails have the same advantages, right? If you look at RTP, for instance, RTP was launched in 2017. It has 60% of the US DDA market, but that's 60%, right? If you want to cover the additional 40%, you may have to choose another way to do that. And so, you know, obviously RTP is growing at a pretty healthy rate, but at the same time, we have FedNow coming out as well in the latter part of 2023, which is going out of the gate with a zero ubiquity rate, right? And that will grow over time too. So I think we have to have flexibility. Again, driving back to the same idea where you're servicing your customer, what does your customer need today, right? And then you have to, you're probably going to have a number of different options. I also go back to availability. So not all rails are appropriate, right? If I want to send money on a Saturday, well, I can't do a wire or I can't do an ACH payment. So I have to have alternatives. So I don't think that there's one rail out there that's going to satisfy everyone's needs. I think there has to be a level of flexibility within financial institutions and service providers to provide a broad number of opportunities for banks to service their needs.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I what I really like is your thoughts around, you know, really focusing on the client need. And then I think some of the solutions that are going to be necessary to meet those needs are going to sort of fall out. And you're right. I don't think it's a one solution fits all. But I think another thing about that's good about focusing on the client need first is oftentimes when you can identify a big need, there's also the opportunity to actually charge for that solution. If you found, you know, an area that can create real value, that's certainly something that I know a lot of financial institutions are thinking about, and certainly something I'm paying attention to right now is really how can we monetize real time and faster payments.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, Sarah. I think that a lot of banks look at faster payments, at least on the consumer side, as a cost center versus a profit center. And I think in a way that's restricted the innovation in the marketplace for those types of transactions. I think it's being kept very, very simple as a sender and a receiver. But I think that tide is changing. It's turning. I get the feeling that there is more focus on the value add that you're adding to the mix. So for instance, if I'm using something very similar to what I call the FedEx model, right, where a customer comes in and they want to move money today, they want to tell you about that transaction. They want to tell you that they're going to send X number of dollars to a particular person on Saturday. I really think it's up to banks to come up with a menu of options and not necessarily a menu of rails, just capabilities. Right. And so if that's the case and that's coming up, I think there are a lot of use cases that will lend themselves towards enabling these FIs to charge for that value add. Because if I really need to send money today and it's Saturday, you know, show me the options. Don't show me the options that don't fit and just deliver on that promise.
Yeah, Mark, I really like that, the concept of having a payments concept first and then choosing the rails around it. I'm a little curious, are we getting to the point where real-time payments can, or like being able to move faster, can command a fee from the market? Like, is that something that folks will pay for?
Yeah, I've seen examples, and one is that I see with PayPal, right? It's enabling its customers to send funds from their PayPal account to their bank DDA on Saturday, Sunday, holidays for the first time. And the adoption of that, so they are charging for that. There's perceived value there from the customers using it, and they're running at about a 70% adoption rate. And so that 70% of the people who are presented with that offer take it. I think that's huge, right? And so I think we have to look beyond the movement of money as just a to and from transaction, and we'll start to see applications and use cases adding messaging to the components, right, or to the offerings to make that experience even richer. Requests for payment from TCH or RTP is one example of that. I think what we're going to see is Amazon-like solutions being put in front of us that add enough value that I think customers will pay for it. And I think banks and financial institutions have long awaited for that period of time, right? So when I look at Venmo and PayPal, I start, you know, in reading the news, I oftentimes see their increased charges that they're putting out, right? So there's a lot of value in moving money quickly. It creates convenience, makes customers fulfilled in terms of what they need to do. And that's really what it's all about. At the end of the day, I know I keep getting back to customers, but I think at the end of the day, that's why really why we're here.
And do you think, if I can throw this question out there, do you think that really being able to meet the client need is really where the concept of payment hubs comes into the conversation?
I think what banks need to do is make it easy for themselves, right? So right now, if you were to go out and you wanted to add RTP, you wanted to add Visa Direct, Zelle, maybe other transactions as an institution, you pretty much have to do it as a one-off for every rail. And it's extremely time-consuming, takes a lot of resources to do it, and it's very costly. So I think where payment hubs can play a huge role in this is to make it easy, right, for banks and kind of like follow a grow-as-you-go model. If I'm an institution and I have a certain portfolio of customers, I may not be ready for FedNow right away, but when I am ready, I want it at my beck and call. I don't want to go out and just do an entirely new project to take a year to implement it. I really want to grow as I go. And so easier to present me with a payments hub where I have enough flexibility that I could do wires, I could do ACH, I could do RTP, send and receive. And when FedNow is available and when I'm ready for it, and that's the key factor here, right? When is the financial institution's customer ready for that? And I think that financial institutions want that flexibility, but they also want the access. And that's what a hub gives them.
Very cool. So, Mark, I think we mentioned super quickly that Alacrity's Cosmos Payment Services now includes FedNow. Presumably, there will be sort of like an ever-evolving suite of payment rails, like right. Sort of like MASH, like new payment types, sort of like mm-hmm. the next new industry interest. I'm curious, how do you plan for that? How do you integrate for sort of like the future unknowns?
Yeah, well, that's interesting. And the key is flexibility in design, right? So we can make some assumptions. And obviously, FedNow is the newest, addition to the payment rails that we'll have access to. But to be quite honest with you, in the next 5 years, I have no idea what's coming, right? I can assume some things. But the key is when you design a payments hub to design in flexibility so that the client can choose very easily and not have to make it a huge effort. The other thing that I'll mention is that in the payment hub space and even in faster payments in general, there are some inherent hurdles to banks adopting these new rails. And I'll use an example. One of them is RTP, right? So RTP is moving money very, very quickly, Saturday, Sunday, holidays, 24/7. A lot of banks aren't used to doing that. And so I'll just use one example from a fraud system, right? So when we talk about potential roadblocks, a lot of banks have enterprise-level fraud systems that are designed and built for wire and ACH. What they're not built for is real-time instant decisioning on transactions that happen to be going out Saturday and Sunday when you don't have staff there, right? So what we're looking at Alacrity and through our Cosmos product is what can we do in addition to offering the rails to offer you the capability of satisfying that need to augment your current fraud system. So we're looking at things like creating a product level fraud system that you can use that instantly decisions transactions on your behalf 24/7, right? So it's not a situation where you have to review each item. It's basically done systemically. You don't have to have staff on the weekends. Remember, we're trying to make it easy, right? And so what generally happens is that banks will sometimes get hung up on the fraud need or the fraud system need, and that elongates the time of period that they'll be able to implement a faster payments solution. Some of the other things we see are overlays. So when we designed RTP and when FedNow was designed, it works on a premise that the bank or the financial institution will create the UI UX experience for their customer and create products and be innovative, right? I think that a lot of banks are taking longer to come up with that innovative product approach, right, for their customer. And that's why one of the things that we're looking at also is overlays, which really create that user experience for the FI branded, right? But that enables us to look at things like bringing in that FedEx model that I was talking about. So I could bring in an overlay and have the financial institution on day one have that access, have that FedEx type model where their customer can come in and move money any way, any day, right? That's important. I think also what I'm finding is a lot of institutions for the first time, because they're moving money on weekends and holidays, they really sometimes don't quite understand that they also have to manage their funding. And so a good example with RTP is if you run out of funds in your sub account at the clearinghouse on the weekend, you can't do transactions, right? So it's really managing your liquidity. And so one of the things that we're bringing to the table also is a funding agent capability, so that if you do run low on funds, you don't have to, you know, if you make a mistake and on a 3-day holiday, you don't fund the account with enough, you know, funds to cover your weekend, that Alacrity in partnership with those funding agents can actually make you whole and keep your transactions rolling over a 3-day holiday. So I think there really is an adjustment to using real time or faster payments. And those three items, the fraud, the overlay, and the funding agents, are things that we're looking to provide, so that, again, taking the burden off of the financial institution, making things more automated, so they don't have to heavily staff to manage this as well. And that's a key concern of theirs.
Yeah, those are such important points. And I might underscore the overlay services, just because I think some financial institutions kind of forget about that part, right? They go out and right. they get connected to this great new payment rail. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. I've just got the money movement piece. I haven't actually created or design the product that actually makes it useful. And that can be kind of complex if you think about sort of the integration that these overlay services require. So, you know, it's nice to be able to have that as a potential sort of off the shelf solution that can be implemented.
Right. And you can start very simplistically with a to and from scenario. But I think over time, what we're going to show in those overlays is a little bit higher level of sophistication. So, for instance, if we go into the business sector of banking, right, and maybe you have a portfolio that's heavy in insurance, what we look at doing is not just providing you simple to and from type of transactions in overlays, but to get more sophisticated in terms of a B2C type of application where an insurance company can send funds out to its customers very, very easily and quickly. And so if we're able to offer sophisticated options like that, it gives the bank something to sell their customer and really enriches their offering.